There are some questions here. Because David committed the sin of adultery, and God allowed other men to commit this sin to the women he had, does this mean that revenge is okay? Actually, the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay you. Don't avenge yourself." So, if there is any discipline or vengeance, that is God's responsibility. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. But do not revenge for yourself. So you cannot avenge yourself or revenge for yourself. After repentance, sometimes shame of sin. So how can we fight this shame? Actually, when you feel the acceptance of the Lord and the forgiveness of the Lord, the shame will be gone. That's what happened with the Samaritan woman. If you think why the Samaritan woman went to the well at noon time, usually people, when they go to the well to draw water, they go early in the morning or the evening, not on the noon time, which the sun is very hot. Why she went in the noon time? In order to avoid everybody. She was ashamed from her sin. That's why she went in this time, in order to avoid seeing people. And for her, to her bad luck, when she went there, she found a man. But actually, this was not her bad luck. This was actually the divine economy to lead her to repent. And after she accepted the forgiveness of God, and she entered into this relationship with the Lord, she was not ashamed. But she went, and she preached, and she said to the people, "Come, see, a man told me all what I have done. Maybe this is the Messiah." So when you accept the forgiveness of God, many times God forgives me, but I cannot forgive myself. That's why the guilt and the shame continues with me. But if I accept the forgiveness of God, then the shame and the guilt would be gone. How can we forget our sins while keeping them in front of our eyes to avoid repeating them? We need to actually to remember that we are sinners. And without the grace of God, we will fall again. That's why David said, "My sin is before my eyes at all times." My sin means doesn't mean the details of sin, but the fact that I am a sinner and I transgress against God. How do we increase zeal to the point where we get ourselves to cry like the adulterous woman? Actually, when you see your sin in the light of the love of God. For example, if somebody loves you very, very, very much, and he does many, many things to you, and then you sin against this person, when you think about your sin, but in your mind how much he loves you, actually you feel this remorse, and you will cry, because you say, "How come I hurt his feeling while he did all of this to me?" So when you see your sins in the light of the love of God, this actually will bring tears to our eyes and remorse to our heart. Drinking alcohol harms your body, but we are taught that drinking to the level of intoxication is a sin, not drinking alcohol in general. Based on this, why is smoking sinful? And between brackets, shisha. Because smoking actually will harm your body, like alcohol. And many people suffer at least from bronchitis or from lung cancer. So actually, you are not faithful with the body that God gave you. when you smoke cigarettes. Also, you are wasting money and destroying the money that God gave to us in order to glorify Him with this money and to help the poor, but you are actually destroying them. Let me tell you. If we say that we are 12 million cups all over the world, maybe you are more, but just let me say it. And let us say that 2 million out of the 12 million smoke cigarettes. And then if they smoke one pack a day, the average. And this may be, I don't know, maybe $3, $4, something like that. Let's say $3. This means actually only the cop who smoke cigarettes consume how many dollars per day? $6 million per day. $6 million. So in 1 month it is $180 million. Can you believe if I bring $180 million and then actually I burn with them? Don't you consider this sinful? And many people die from hunger. Besides the bad examples that you set before others. And tell me, when people smoke shisha together, what they are talking about the repentance of David? What kind of conversation you are holding? And now you are asking why it's sinful? Is it wrong to marry another denomination such as Catholic? Why? What if they convert to Orthodox? If they convert to Orthodox, then you are not married to a Catholic. You are married to Orthodox. The two shall become one. The two shall become one. And if you are different, then you are not one. So how you can be, there is spiritual intimacy between both of you if you are different in your beliefs. So you need to be one. When I sin and repent, do God still punish me on earth? Not in every sense. Not in every sense. But if needed, God may discipline me to protect me from relapse, from falling again into sin. But not in every sense. David says to the Lord, if you count all our sins, who can stand before you? In kunta lil asam rasidan, ya Rab. Ya Rab, man yaslu. If God punishes us for every single sin we do, nobody could survive. So God does not punish us for every single sin. But if needed to protect me from falling again, yes, He would. How do I deal with my parent who overprotected me? Actually, you need to see this overprotection as it is. It is love and care. And with this understanding, you can talk to them. And if you assure them, and if you are able to earn their trust, then actually this overprotection will be diminished, at least. How to feel repentance before and during confession? Confession feels like a habit, and therefore I do not feel this immediate forgiveness. Because there are 5 steps you need to do before confession. So if you don't do these 5 steps before confession, confession will be, as it says, will be like a habit. The first step you need to do before confession is to acknowledge your sin, to take responsibility, to admit it. Number 2 is to develop godly sorrow which leads to repentance, as St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Number three, to correct the consequences of your sin, like Zacchaeus, how he restores fourfold those who hurt him. And number four, to determine and to decide not to return back to to the sin again. And number five, to have confidence and hope in God's forgiveness and God's acceptance. So when you take full responsibility of your sin, and then develop the remorse and godly sorrow, and correct the consequences of your sin, the outcome of your sin, and determine not to return back to the sin, to do whatever it takes in order to not to return back, and to have confidence in God's forgiveness and God's acceptance, when you go with this heart, actually, confession will not be a habit, but you will feel God's forgiveness and God's acceptance. How can we judge whether or not someone is a bad influence on me? If your behavior changes after, you know, dealing with this person, if you and your parents or your friends start to tell you there is a change in your behavior, change in your attitude, a change in your thinking, then this person will be a bad influence on you. But my advice, don't wait until your behavior changes and then you say he has a bad influence. You know, a rotten apple will corrupt all other apples in the basket. So a person who is ungodly definitely will have that influence in you. As the Bible says, bad company corrupts good morals. Bad company corrupts good morals. What are the ways to get back into regular prayer routine? And how should we wisely pray so that we may ask God and pray to God for the right things and not useless stuff? Prayer is communication with God. You need to be sincere in your communication with God. You need to focus on the quality and the content of your prayer. As a quality, you need to pray with your heart. As St. Paul said, 5 words with my understanding better than 10,000 words without understanding. And about the content of your prayer, talk to God about your needs. Talk to God about your feeling toward Him. Talk to God about others, especially those who bother you or you consider them your enemies. Give thanks to God for all the things that He done to you, and also praise Him for who He is. Be consistent in your prayer. Be consistent. Don't just pray one day and then quit 10 days and then pray one day and quit 10 days. It doesn't work like this. Choose the time and place. Time before any distraction comes to your mind, like early in the morning. Place like quiet area or a prayer corner in which there are some candles, some icons that can help you to gather your thoughts quickly and pray to the Lord. Prayer in itself is a school. So the more you pray, the more you excel in prayer itself. How can you balance worrying about school and the future as well as your spiritual life? The problem with this question is that you are dividing your life into school life and spiritual life. But as St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, all what you do, whether eating or drinking, I'm adding now, whether studying or doing anything, do it all for the glory of God. So here you will not have two lives, school life and spiritual life. If I'm eating, drinking, studying, playing, worshiping, everything I'm doing for God, because I'm created for Him, as we read in Colossians chapter 1. So we are created for Him and by Him. So when you use the material you are studying, your career, your profession, to glorify God and to become light to the world and soul to the earth, then actually your school in itself will be part of your spiritual life. It will not be two lives, but one life. We are told to trust in God fully and have no fear. But how can we do that when we are constantly surrounded by stress and fear in our everyday life? Because of our lack of faith. Because we don't trust God enough. If we trust that all things will work together for good to those who love God, then will not have any fear or anxiety. Like Joseph, maybe if we are in the place of Joseph, we will see ourselves as failures. We are sold, our brethren, my brethren threw me in a well. I am now working as a slave in the house of Potiphar because of my honesty. Now I'm in jail, suffering punishment. Even the cup holder of the king forgot about me. But Joseph trusted God, trusted that all things will work together for good. That's why, although he went through all of it, but at the end, everything worked out for good. That's why St. Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, he told us, be anxious over nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything you are worrying about, by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then what will happen? God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Be anxious over nothing. But in everything, let your requests be made known to God. Instead of worrying, let your requests be made known to God through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. If you worry, worrying will not help you anything. As you heard the Sunday before the last, if you worry, you cannot add one cubit to research. So let your requests be made known to God. Then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You mentioned shallow repentance. True repentance means I do not go back to the sin. But what if I fall back into the sin? I know my repentance is not complete and shallow. How do I repent completely and not go back? And between brackets, example, addiction. Actually, I didn't say that true repentance means I do not go back to the sin. True repentance means to hate sin. But with some sins, like habitual sin or like addiction, it takes some time to repent. It takes some time to overcome completely the sin. But from the moment you started fighting sin before God, you repent. And before God, you are forgiven. And before God, you are accepted. Even if you die before complete victory, you are accepted before God. From the moment you started fighting and hating sin. And sometimes with addiction, you need professional help. Because your body now is dependent on these drugs already. So you need professional help. So it's not only just your willpower, but some medication or some detoxification you need to be done in order to be completely sober. So I want to assure you that your role is to fight. But victory comes from God. Victory comes from God. So what's complete repentance, what's true repentance when you hate sin? And you will fight sin all your life. That's why the Bible says, the righteous fall 7 times, but the Lord lifts him up. Don't laugh at me, my enemy, because if I fall, I will rise again, as we read in Micah. لا تشمت بي عدواتي إن سقط أقوم. Why didn't God destroy the devil from the beginning, since he knew Satan would harm his creation? And why was the tree of knowledge of good and evil created if mankind was never intended to eat from it? Let me answer the second question first. If there is a gang, and this gang kidnapping little children, and how they kidnap little children, they deceive them. They offer them like chocolate or candy in order to deceive them. Then they will take the child and kidnap him. And they will ask ransom for him. So the parents warn their children, if you go outside and anybody gives you candy or anybody gives you chocolate, don't eat from it. So this warning is not about the chocolate. It's about that the gang will use the chocolate to deceive you. So go back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why eating from this tree was sinful? You think that the fruit in itself was sinful? Of course not. But Satan used this tree to deceive me, to deceive Adam and Eve, to make Adam and Eve follow Satan and not God. If I receive anything from the hand of God, it will be for life, because God is the source of life. If I receive anything from the hand of Satan, it will be for death. Because Satan comes to destroy and to kill. So God said to Adam, like the father who said to his child, don't take chocolate from anybody. God said to Adam, don't eat from this tree. Because in his foreknowledge, he foreknew that Satan will use this tree to deceive Adam and Eve. If Satan took a fruit from the tree and gave it to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve took it from the hand of Satan, this will be for their death. So God told them, don't eat from the tree. Not because eating in itself is sinful, but because Satan will use this to deceive them, to make Adam and Eve his follower. So, if God did not create this tree, Satan would use another tree. So it's not about this tree in itself, because Satan will use some sort of way to deceive Adam and Eve. Why God did not destroy Satan? Satan actually started rebellion against God. And God, you need to understand this about God. That God actually, in all his attributes, is complete. So, as he is merciful, he is also just. And because of his justice, he has to give Satan a fair chance to rebel against him. So, you would argue and say, but this actually hurt me. But I'm telling you no, because God also empowered me and died for me in order to save me and protect me from the cunning of the devil. And as I told you, going to heaven is not impossible. Many people think that going to heaven is very difficult. No. I told you in the story of the prodigal son, God even accepted low standard of repentance because he does not desire the death of the sinner, but rather the return and live. So God will accept us. David, after he has killed and committed adultery, when he said, I have sinned against the Lord, he heard immediately, you will not die. Immediately, before he cried, before he developed the sorrow, just by saying and returning, God has forgiven. So, don't think that going to heaven is impossible or fighting David is something impossible to win. God is with us, and if God is with us, who can be again? A similar question, if God knows a certain person will die and go to hell, why would he create that sin? God did not create sin, actually. Sin, we transgress against God. But think about it. God created us not to go to hell. God created us to go to paradise of joy, to enjoy with him eternal life. He said to us on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God, which prepared for you. He said to those on his left hand, depart from me, evil doers, go to the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil. So the lake of fire, hell, is not prepared for us, for devil, but for us, the kingdom of heaven. So God created us and gave us all the remedies, all the tools that we need for salvation. So actually, it is our problem if we did not go to heaven, because we rejected it. Yes, it is easy through the grace of God, as St. John said, his commandments are not burdensome. Trust the Lord and you will overcome. Follow him and actually you will be winner. At night, while you are about to sleep, you pour yourself in front of the Lord. Will he forgive you the same way as if he would forgive you if you confessed your father's confession? Definitely, when you pray and you pour your soul, he will accept you, but he will tell you, also you need to follow my commandments and go and say it to the priest. That is the way God did it. Because, and why? For my own benefit, not to embarrass me. Because if a priest would give me spiritual advice, will hold me accountable, even the Protestant churches right now, who do not believe in confession, they have accountability group. Because we found a complementary groups is very helpful in transformation, in treating addiction. Why we have support group like Alcohol Anonymous or Narcotic Anonymous? You know, to hold the person accountable. So there are blessings and benefits for me when I go to Abuna, because he will give me absolution through the Holy Spirit. He will hold me accountable. He will pray for me. There is spiritual direction and spiritual exercise. He will train me. He will show me the way of repentance. So it is in my favor, for my benefit, to go to Abuna. That's why God established this way. Another question, when a bishop or the pope or a special guest is present at the time, I hesitate on whether I should worship in the front of the sanctuary and go and kiss the guest's hand in front of the people, because I feel that I may try to look good in front of the people. Should I worship and kiss his hand, or go sit quietly and pray in my head? You know, if you are doing this with the intention that to be seen by people, and the people would say some good things about you, then don't do it, because the motivation here is not right. But if you do it because you want to receive the blessing of the Lord and you worship before His holy sanctuary, and you are not doing for people, you can do it. And here let me remind you with the verse in Romans when St. Paul said, blessed is the man who does not condemn himself on what he feels it's better. طوبى لمن لا يزين نفسه فيما يستحسنه. So if you feel this will help you spiritually, do it. If you are doing it just for the people or for the people, don't do it. There's a question in Arabic. I will read it in Arabic and answer it in Arabic. عند قراءة الإنجيل بعد إرسال الرب موسى إلى بني إسرائيل التقى ملك الرب وأراد أن يقتله فأخذت صفورة حجر صوان وخدمت ابنها وقالت أنت عريس دم لي. للأسف لم أفهم هذا العبارة ولماذا أراد الرب قتله بعد إرساله، لأن كان في وصية اسمها وصية الختام، وربنا قال النفس التي لا تختتم تقطع تلك النفس. فمش معقولة موسى قائد الشعب راح يلوم على وصية ربنا يكون كسر الوصية، كان عنده ابن ولم يختنه. فحكاية ان اراد رب ان يختله جاله زي مرض لانه كسر وصية ربنا. صفورة عرفت ان ده السبب بسبب الختان، ان هو ما ختنش ابنه، فراحت على طول ختنت ابنها وخدت الدم وراحت لمست بيه رجلين موسى فخف وانفك عنه، وده رمز إلى دم المسيح. حتى المسيح بيسميه الختم، الختم الحقيقي. والختم جاي من كلمة الختام، وكلمة ختم معناها العريس. والمسيح قبل الختام لأجلنا. فهنا لما قالت أنت عريس دم ليا، يعني هي خدته بالدم، نقلته من الموت إلى الحياة. فأكنه بقى عريس جديد ليها من خلال هذا الدم. وده رمز الى ان دم المسيح، بالدم ده صار المسيح عريس للبشرية، واشترانا احنا واحنا بقينا عروسه، اللي هو الختم الحقيقي، واحنا عروس المسيح. لإلهنا المجد الدائم.